Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Know if the roughly 500 to 600 Americans in Gaza have survived the past 23 days of bombing and have the hostages?
We are in regular contact with most of the Americans who are in Gaza. We can't say every single one, but all of the ones who reach out to us, we follow up with on a regular basis, even sometimes a daily basis. And so we know that many of them are still there, still waiting to get out, and we are working actively to try to make that happen. The challenge right now, Margaret, is that the Egyptians are prepared to let Americans and other foreign nationals out of Gaza. The Israelis have no issue with that, but Hamas is preventing their departure and making a series of demands. We're trying to work through that to create a circumstance where all of the Americans who are in Gaza are able to get out.
Yeah, obviously Hamas wants to keep people in because that's their only protection. If everybody but Hamas gets out, guess who gets killed? Everybody who's left. That's exactly the idea. But yeah, this is Jake Sullivan talking with Margaret Brennan yesterday on Face the Nation.
Let me ask you about Israel and how it has explained its mission to the U.S. government. Saturday, their military said it killed a Hamas leader who had overseen the drone strikes and the paragliders who carried out that horrific attack on October 7th. They'd already announced that they'd killed the commander of forces responsible for the massacre at Kibbutz Nirim and another key Hamas commander. Have they told you yet at which point they will declare this mission a success?
I'm so flustered. It's I can't tell if they don't understand or are they trying not to understand. Or do they feel like it's their duty to pretend like they don't understand? This is not about just getting the particular people responsible for this attack. They make it seem like it's somehow retaliation. They bought into the Palestinian argument. And the Palestinian view, you know, well, they've killed five times as many people as our people killed, so therefore we're even. No, it's not about retaliation. It's about creating security and degrading the capability or preventing the capability of ever doing anything like this again. And so, you know, well, you got the three leaders and a bunch of other people. Aren't you done yet? No. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, they have told us in broad terms that making sure that Hamas can never again threaten Israel in the way it threatened Israel before is their core strategic objective in this conflict.
That's exactly right. Good for you, Jake Sullivan.
But in terms of what the specific milestones are, that is something that ultimately is up to Israel. This is their military operation. They will make that decision. And we will continue to ask the hard questions of them, Margaret, that we would ask of ourselves in a military operation like this. What exactly are the objectives? How are the means matched to the objectives? And how will this evolve over time? That's a conversation we've been having. It's a conversation we will continue to have in the days ahead.
And rightly so. Those are the right questions. What's the aim of the war and what's the conducting of the warfare? Those are the right, you know, jus in bello, jus ad bellum, of the two elements of just war theory. He's exactly right about that. Jake Sullivan, by the way, National Security Advisor. And when you want to be concerned about civilians, and everybody should be concerned about civilians, keep in mind the vast difference between Israel and Hamas when it comes to the treating and targeting of civilians.
What I will say is that the United States has been very focused on a core challenge here, which is that Hamas is using civilians as human shields. They're hiding behind civilians. They're hiding among civilians. They're putting rockets and other terrorist infrastructure in civilian areas. That creates an added burden for the Israeli Defense Forces, but it does not lessen their responsibility to distinguish between terrorists and innocent civilians and to protect the lives of innocent civilians as they conduct this military operation. That's true of striking from the air. It is true of going in on the ground. And this is something that we talk about with the Israelis on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Appropriate conversations and the right concerns. That doesn't mean you shoot for zero. I mean, you can try for zero. You're not going to get zero civilians. The point is that you're doing your best to reduce that.
So what exactly is the Biden administration calling for here? Because everyone from the Pope to the World Health Organization to the UN is saying just stop the violence for a period of time at least.
Well, what a lot of people are calling for is just a stop to Israeli military action against terrorists, period. Just stop. No more. Israel cannot go after terrorists who conducted this largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust and who continue to fire rockets and continue to attack Israel. We have taken the position that Israel has a right to defend itself against terrorist attacks.
Correct. And the idea of a pause, which does have humanitarian value, also has strategic tactical value for Hamas.
And similarly, when Secretary Blinken said that any pause in fighting benefits Hamas, that's a reality. There are a lot of complicated realities in this. Mm-hmm. A humanitarian pause would be a good thing to get hostages out, but you can bet that Hamas will try to use that time to their advantage as well. These are the things that Israel is trying to grapple with.
Oh, we got 2 days of ceasefire? Okay, here's our plan for reorganization and, you know, setting up more traps and getting people through the tunnels to where we want them to. I mean, you know, that's what they would do. And so the trade-off is if you do the things to help the civilians or the, you know, hostages, you're also going to give Hamas cover to do what they want to do to adapt to what they see Israel about to do. 816 on News Radio 92.3. And there's another side of this I want to get to in just a second, but Jake's got traffic on the fives first.
Okay, lots of dense fog in the area, so please use caution this morning. We had a vehicle crash before the entrance of Hurlburt Field this morning, Highway 98 eastbound in Mary Esther. Still got everything backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Causeway. Also, 98 westbound in Tiger Point at the Avalon intersection, showing back up for at least a couple miles there. If you have traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. So back to, not Jake Sullivan in this case, but I did think that CBS actually had some really good information. Charlie Daggett is their on-the-scene reporter. And so setting this up, because I want you to hear a comment from Benjamin Netanyahu, but I want to give you a picture of what's going on in Gaza right now.
What the Israeli government calls its second stage of the war began with its fiercest aerial onslaught yet. Then an artillery barrage, according to Israeli Defense Forces video, and tanks, flanked by soldiers on foot, rolling inside Gaza. Without pulling back this time, even if Israeli officials stop short of calling it an invasion.
And by the way, what is going on inside Gaza is pretty awful right now.
This morning, the UN raised alarm that civil order is starting to break down inside Gaza. Thousands of people storming their warehouses and distribution centers in a desperate need for wheat, flour, and hygiene supplies.
And so then the comments were from Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, he's speaking Hebrew. He's not speaking English, so it gets translated a little bit. But here's part one.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called it Israel's second war of independence. The war inside the Gaza Strip will be long and difficult, he said, and we are ready for it.
And this is the second one. This is what I wanted to get to, because this, I think, is such an important point that even I had not been thinking about it quite fully. But when he gets done talking, I'll kind of explain what I mean.
The IDF is the most moral army in the world. The IDF does everything to avoid harming those who are not involved.
So the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, the most moral army in the world, he says. Why? Why would he say that? Well, for example, you know, the targeting of the buildings where they'll put down leaflets, get out, where they'll knock on the roof before they're going to, you know, they'll throw stuff down on the roof basically to make them aware, hey, hey, attacks are coming, you better get out, so that they don't kill civilians as much as it is possible to do that. The waiting, the way that they're going to conduct this war, you can expect will be the same thing. They are not going to be able to eliminate civilian casualties. They're going to do their best to reduce it. And people will say, well, but they could do more. They could not do the war at all, or they could try to kill zero. And I understand. Okay, but sometimes what we do is we don't compare to the right thing. And in this case, if you're saying Israel is so bad because they've killed all these civilians, and they certainly have killed some, there's no doubt. Okay, they have killed some. I don't personally believe the 8,000 number that's coming out of Gaza. I just don't trust their information. I think the president was right about that. You can't trust their information. Stop repeating it. But let's say just what if. Let's say, just imagine that it really is 8,000 and that a lot of those are, you know, a lot of those are civilians and a lot of those are children. Let's imagine that's true. Okay? Yeah. The old strategy in debate is if you can grant your opponent the thing they're claiming and then show how they're still wrong, then you can, you know, you win the argument, right? Okay. So let's grant that Israel has killed 8,000 people, many of them civilians, many of them children, so far, and suffered, you know, 1,000-plus to their own side in the attack. Okay. You say, how awful. That's disproportionate. And there's going to be more, right? There's going to be more. Okay. Invert the situation. Imagine for just a moment. Imagine if the Jews were living in Gaza and Hamas controlled what is currently Israel. And not just the land, but the military. As in, Hamas has conventional weapons. They have Merkava tanks. They have the 360,000 troops. They have Air Force. They have F-16s. They have nukes. Everybody knows Israel has nukes. Not officially, but everybody knows that they have nuclear weapons. How many civilians would they kill? Well, we wouldn't have to ask the question because there wouldn't be any left. If Hamas had their way, if the situation were reversed, it'd be 2,000 dead Jews. And, well, they wouldn't have gotten to be 2,000. They would have killed them a long time ago. Sorry, 2 million, excuse me. If Hamas today had nuclear weapons, Israel wouldn't exist. You'd have 10 million dead Jews. Their philosophy is kill them all. Wipe them off the planet. Eradicate them. The Holocaust was a good start, is what they say. So, yes, you don't just say, well, Israel's doing better than the terrorists would do. That's a given. But stop getting into this fantasy model of thinking that it's somehow what Israel's doing compared to a world in which they kill no civilians and everybody just has a ceasefire and truce happens. That's a fantasy. That's not going to happen. But when you want to think about what Israel is doing morally, virtually, nobly, compare them to what they would do if they had the same mindset that Hamas has. That's the comparison you want to think about. And then think about, well, how big of a difference is it between what Israel is doing now compared to that? And just as a comparison, you know, you say, well, that's all fine and good, but, you know, where does the terrorist state, where does the terrorist organization run? Okay, well, look at Ukraine and Russia. What did Russia do in Ukraine? If you want to compare them to a major state actor, just say, well, how is Israel doing compared to how is Russia doing? 822 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pencil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because, hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home of the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, Angelina's Champagne Dinner, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. You may be aware that online crime is a huge threat, but did you know this problem could be a great career opportunity for you? Cybersecurity experts are in high demand and well paid. You can position yourself for this specialty in months, not years, at My Computer Career, even with no prior IT experience. Learn how you can train for this rewarding career at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill.
Fox News' Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the streams.
Got more rhymes than Jamaican got, man. Go.
traditional Halloween music right there from Beastie Boys. 8:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jake has your traffic on the fives on this foggy, foggy morning.
Yes. Well, if you're on 98, it's not going so great. Probably going to be late. Eastbound Mary Esther just before the Hurlburt Field exit there, we had a vehicle crash this morning. It still has traffic backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Causeway. Also 98 westbound in Tiger Point, we have traffic backing up at the light there at Avalon. If you have traffic info to report, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. We've got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, it may be weeks before the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner releases an official cause of death for Friends star Matthew Perry. Officials do say they did an autopsy on Sunday. Perry was 54. Apple hosting a product event today. Of course, it's only been 1 month now since they revealed the iPhone 15. Today's event, they're calling, quote, scary fast, is expected to show off the company's next generation M3 chip and its newest iMac computers. Apparently, the TSA has been having issues with people traveling in costume lately, and they're asking travelers to beware of what's in their bags when they pass through airport security because of Halloween. TSA spokesperson Lisa Fabstein says passengers can fly in costume, but they need to keep makeup to a minimum so they can be recognized at checkpoints.
I think we see a fair amount of both children and adults who are sporting costumes on Halloween. The kids love it, of course. And I think the adults get a kick out of it because, you know, they're so young at heart.
And they say to watch out for what you've got in your bags if you're dressed as a military or army man or something. Mm-hmm. You can't take your toy grenades on the plane.
No toy grenades in the bags. That's right. Good one, David. Thanks so much for the update. 8:27 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is just kind of a... you know what? I was trying to decide whether I want to pick that fight today. I just don't want to pick that fight today. I'm just not interested in it. I will say this, kind of a fascinating note. This came out a week ago or so, but the Escambia County Public Schools have gotten a $1.5 million grant for esports. Esports, which I know some people don't think it's sports, and, you know, there's no physical contact and there's only mild physical training. So, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'll just leave that for a different
day. Is this like Madden or?
Yeah. So, the, the DODEA, what does that stand for? Where is that in my notes here? Department of Defense. Esports Alliance or something like that. I'm not really sure what the A is for. Anyway, 5-year project seeking to build a sustainable competitive gaming ecosystem that is welcoming and inclusive to everybody. So, Department of Defense Education Activity is the organization. They've been awarding money for quite a while now, but this gives money to access for coaches, equipment, resources, and, you know, it makes sense from a DOD perspective because you want to cultivate an environment where people are learning how to wage war of the future, which is, you know, gamers or drone operators, right? And so esports is getting a big boost here in Escambia County, which I think is a fascinating one. We looked into doing this for my sons are all into the gaming, and you know, a couple of them that were in, you know, high school and college were like, well, do you want to try out for, you know, the E team? I'm just happy playing at home. Like so many other kids their age. I just know that's the case. 437-1620, 437-1620. Veterans Memorial Park Foundation is hosting a special celebration of service Veterans Day. First Baptist Church of Pensacola. Tickets are on sale, limited to 300. Performance by Mac McAnally. You can go to newsradio923.com to get more information. The Gulf Coast Arts Festival comes up November 3rd, 4th, and 5th this weekend, the same as the Blue Angels weekend. Homecoming air show at the base. Enjoy one of the best regarded, most popular arts festivals in the United States. 3 days, and you can find more at newsradio923.com. As I said, the base this weekend and Blue Angels is what you're going to see a lot of all this week. Also, it is the last performance for Bands on the Beach is tomorrow night. Not Quite Fab performs at the Gulfside Pavilion at 7 o'clock, put on by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, which is, you know, always a good show. And the Making Strides on Saturday was a huge turnout. Man, it was big. We go to these most every year, not every year, but most every year I walk. And man, it was enormous at Seville Square, an enormous number of people walking around downtown Pensacola sporting, research into breast cancer and fighting breast cancer. This horrible, terrible, awful disease that everybody knows somebody, right? Everybody knows somebody. I have coworkers and I have a mother. So, yeah, everybody knows somebody. So thank you to all who showed up and participated.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Israel's war with Hamas in phase two, knocking out communications in Gaza. The Saudi defense minister at the White House today to discuss the war. The Hamas attack on Israel believed to have been spurred by Israel's warming relations with Saudi Arabia. In the U.S., college campuses have erupted with pro-Palestinian protests, morphing into anti-Semitic threats. Former Trump advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner, who is Jewish, just returned from a conference in Saudi Arabia.
As an American Jew, you're safer in Saudi Arabia right now than you are on a college campus like Columbia University.
After the jacuzzi death of the beloved Friends actor Matthew Perry, it may be weeks before autopsy results are known. Signed copies of his memoir, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing, talking about his addiction, going for $600 to $1,000 on eBay. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is mostly cloudy skies and some fog around the area as well, so watch out for that today. Temperature is going to be fairly normal today, but we are expecting actually a pretty quick dip down into some real fall-like temperatures this week. Overnight lows could be down into the 50s tonight and maybe even all the way down into the 30s Tuesday through Friday. We are expecting highs in the 60s and down into the 50s later this week, too. We'll get more on that with Brooke Richardson here in just a couple of minutes. Eviction notices have now been posted in Jones Swamp, informing roughly 20 or so residents of a homeless camp in the area. They have to be out by November 1st.
We're going through talking to a couple people, seeing if we could either rent a room out or whatever. Because, I mean, I work full time. I don't make enough for rent.
That is camp resident Lapaya Lee, and the eviction notices were posted on trees in the Jones Swamp area last week. Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler says there have been problems in that area, so the county's Natural Resource Department reached out to the Housing Authority, who he says posted the eviction notices. Kohler says he will be reaching out to area shelters to try and get assistance for those who are being forced out. A Milton man now facing a DUI manslaughter charge after a fatal crash on Munson Highway. That happened Saturday morning. FHP says 49-year-old Shane Ammons was driving north on Munson when he tried to turn into a business north of Lawler Lane. As he was turning, a sedan attempted to pass his truck. The two vehicles crashed. That caused the sedan to run off the road and roll. Troopers say the driver of the vehicle was partially ejected. There were also three 17-year-old passengers taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Troopers ended up arresting Ammons for DUI manslaughter. The investigation into that continues. Well, as you've been hearing, Saturday was a beautiful morning for a walk, and thousands of people did just that. It was the annual Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk downtown. Channel 3 reports that there was a turnout of more than 10,000. People at that event. That's a lot of people. The American Cancer Society hosts these walks in more than 150 communities each year, and the walks all go to raise money to support breast cancer patients, survivors, and caregivers. More than $200,000 was raised throughout our community. Governor Ron DeSantis says there's no room in Florida for anti-Semitism.
Hamas terrorists worship death. Don't tell me that there's a moral equivalence here between Israel and Hamas terrorists. There are not.
DeSantis was in Davie over the weekend for a legislative breakfast, and during his speech, he condemned pro-Hamas rallies and touted his action against a group that had been operating on college campuses around the state. A Palm Beach County deputy has died after a hunting trip that turned tragic in Columbia County. The sheriff's office there says the deputy was found dead on Saturday night. He'd been on a hunting trip. His wife contacted deputies in that area when she couldn't reach him. Columbia County deputies say they worked with FWC to find the deputy, and investigators believe he suffered a medical emergency while hunting. He's not been identified. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing?
We have lots of dense fog still sticking around in the area this morning, so please use caution. Highway 98 eastbound in Mary Esther, we had a vehicle crash early this morning at the entrance to Hurlburt, and it still has traffic backed up all the way past 87 now. Also, Highway 98 westbound in Tiger Point, starting to show the backup there at Avalon Boulevard. This traffic report is brought to you by Fresh From Florida. At freshfromflorida.com, you can see what's in season, recipes that feature local ingredients, and more. Also, join the Fresh From Florida Club today at freshfromflorida.com. If you have traffic info to report, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We will have a beautiful day today. Partly sunny skies, highs near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. As you go into Tuesday, nice and sunny skies. Cold front moves through, dropping the highs into the 60s, 62 degrees for your high. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 42 degrees. Temperatures stay chilly as you go into Wednesday with a high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping into the low 40s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, 66 in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Your money now, a positive open for the market this morning. The Dow's up 248.86 at 32,666.45. S&P 500 up 35.84 this morning at 41,53.21. And the NASDAQ up 128.09 at 12,771.10. Our 10-year bond rate up slightly at 4.89%. Gold prices are up 12.40 at 2010.90. Silver price is also up at $2,368, and Bitcoin up $9,270 as well, $34,685.49. New report showing food insecurity is on the rise. Experts say a lot of this has to do with the rough economy as of late.
The reality is the inflation on food, rent, utilities drove more people to food banks.
That's Eric Cooper, and he says seniors are really getting hit hard. Many are on a fixed income, which can make it much harder to keep up with inflation. The UAW is expanding its strike against GM now into Tennessee. Shortly after the union had announced a tentative deal with Stellantis over the weekend, they said they'll order workers to walk out of GM's Spring Hill assembly plant, which employs nearly 4,000 workers. Elon Musk's social media platform X has now launched a new subscription tier. The Premium Plus tier costs $16 a month, but comes with features like ad-free feeds, revenue sharing, and what they're calling the largest reply boost. The other tier, called Basic, costs $3 a month. That'll feature the ability to edit posts and to make longer posts as well. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport, a sleek compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone's comfort, the 2024 Atlas SE, now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices before tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Warp
breaks out between Israel and Hamas.
Starting with our top three stories today, the latest in Israel is Hamas released two hostages.
A Milton couple who was in Israel when the Hamas attacks began has arrived back home safely.
When we were leaving,
Governor DeSantis says it's important to stand with Israel.
Most of the deaths of our own servicemen.
We're pursuing every avenue to bring their loved ones home.
I got to give the president credit for
keeping you informed with a local emphasis.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I was talking about this with Jake today, and we came up with an idea for the frivolous topic, which is a little different from our normal, but we thought this was appropriate given the fact that Matthew Perry had just passed away and how many of you, I'm sure, were friends, fans, friends, you know, loved the show. So if you didn't, and if it wasn't your thing, I apologize to you, but the question for the day, the sort of the frivolous topic for the day is, what was your favorite Friends episode? Because so many people are thinking about, and it doesn't have to be like a Chandler-focused kind of show, but certainly thinking about him, thinking about all the good times that we had watching that show for so many years, my goodness. And my wife and I just recently rewatched it last year. But 437-1620, 437-1620, tell me your favorite show or your favorite, like, scene. You know, it might not be, like, the episode. It could be, like, your favorite scene, the one that you always remember, like, oh, God, that's the one that makes me laugh every time. And, you do not have to know the official name of that was the one with the dinosaur. Like, you don't have to know the actual name of the episode. Just enough of a context so that we can all kind of remember the one that made you laugh a bunch. 437-1620, text me your favorite episode of Friends. Jake, do you have one that stands out to you?
I can't remember the specific episode title, but it was when Joey went and took all of the clothes out of Chandler's closet and wore them all at once. And can I be wearing any more clothes?
The clothes on the outside, because Chandler had worn his clothes, right?
Yeah.
And I'm Commando. Right, exactly.
Yep, yep.
437-1620. What's your favorite episode of Friends, or the one that, you know, made you laugh the most that you can remember? And I was just quickly, like, jotting down some of the ones that made me laugh. And I did a quick look, like, you know, well, what do people online, what do they say is the best one or whatever? And, you know, so much disagreement. So much disagreement about this. So let's see, 437-1620. And you know what? You may have to tell me more context just then, the title of the episode, because I may not remember it. But this one, the one where no one's ready, and I don't remember which one that is, because I don't pay attention to the titles as much, so I'll have to know. And somebody says, oh, my gosh, there were so many. Give me a second to think about it.
Right.
All right, here's one. Pivot! Pivot! Where they're moving the furniture,
yep,
and Ross is doing the directing. That's a classic. Somebody says, the one where they played the trivia game and lost the apartment. Oh, yeah. In fact, that was one of my favorites as well. And I had just cut, I think I've got just a little bit of it here. When they're playing,
No! I'm afraid the TV guide comes to Chenandler Bong.
I knew that! Rachel, use your head!
Actually, it's Miss Chenandler Bong.
Miss Chenandler Bong. That is a great episode. 437-1620. Somebody, another vote for Pivot. Very good. Let's see. The one where I was ready was the one that Jake was talking about. Okay, so fair enough.
Okay.
Cool. Somebody else for Pivot. That's a good one. Somebody here says, let's see, the stop smoking tapes, which caused him to become feminine. Yeah, that's a good one. And this is not an episode per se. This is more of an ongoing thing, but somebody says Phoebe Smelly Cat.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic, yes. Ongoing thing. Mm-hmm. Somebody else said Smelly Cat as well. Mm-hmm. 437-1620, 437-1620. Yeah, yep. The apartment one was a good one for me. I like the one where Joey and Chandler get robbed. Where Joey lets him get robbed, and then he's locked inside the entertainment center. Also, personal favorite is where you have Chandler in the box, where Joey is punishing Chandler for dating his girlfriend.
Oh. wow.
And yeah like
so many episodes.
I know, right?
Well, of course, there was nothing more exciting than when, you know, they were watching the home videotape from the prom.
Prom episode, and they see
the moment we had all waited for.
And they see Ross at the stairs with the look, and the football episode. I have a favorite episode. I realized I have a favorite episode, and I'll tell you in a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. 437-1620. What's your favorite Friends episode? Go ahead, Jake.
All right, so we still have a lot of dense fog in the area, so please use caution. Still, Highway 98 eastbound in Mary Esther, just before the entrance to Hurlburt, we had a vehicle crash this morning. Still has everything backed up all the way past Highway 87 in Navarre. 98 westbound in Tiger Point slowing down as well. You can always text your traffic info to 437-1620 if you I was about to try to say something with Friends, but I just totally lost it. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I was like, this is the one with the traffic info, but I'd already said it.
Oh, no, very good. 437-1620. That's our phone number. So, you know, I was, and again, it really was. I mean, you can't have 10 seasons and not have a lot of them that you want to think of. But the one where Paul Rudd and Ross are trying to pretend to be friends? It's so awkward. It's so terribly awkward. No, but so I have two personal favorites. One is a favorite for, like, because I'm a philosopher, the evolution episode, where Phoebe is just continually not accepting the theory of evolution, and David Schwimmer Ross just keeps arguing with her and fighting with her. And then there gets to be a point where he's like, well, there could be a teeny tiny possibility. And she just
tiny possibility.
I can't believe you caved.
What are you going to tell all your scientist friends when you go back to work? But my personal, just me personal, I'll get back to the text here in a second. My personal favorite is the Brad Pitt Thanksgiving episode. Complex carbohydrates. Just that whole, because that's like the rumor about Rachel. That's just, to me, that's all of the things. And it showcases a guy who was, you know, one of my favorite actors of all time, Brad Pitt. Anyway, 437-1620, all of Phoebe's songs. The stripping at the Happy Days. Yes, I got you. See, I told you he's her lobster. Oh, that's adorable. Somebody here says the naked guy, across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very good. The leather pants for Ross.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is a sort of, it's a little obvious, but it's a good obvious.
We were on a break.
And that became obviously a theme for the whole show. Friends always had great Thanksgiving episodes. Somebody texted in and said that, and I appreciate that. So anyway, just, I thought, you know, the reason we're sad about Matthew Perry, and if you're not a Friends fan or didn't watch it very much and you're kind of like, this wasn't your conversation, I'm sorry. It just, I know for some of you, okay, I get that. But for people for whom this was, like, the show, it's a huge news note, very sad day, and I just wanted to give us a chance to remember why we loved him and them so much and why it meant so much, and it is just all of these things that they made us laugh, gave us something to look forward to, and created engaging, amazing, distracting, entertaining plot lines and amazing, brilliantly delivered comedic lines. And clearly, by the way, just as a, you know, like an overall commentary, is clearly the show running, the writing, and the ensemble for that show was much more than the sum of the parts, right? Mm-hmm. None of those individual actors or writers or anything have done anything else even comparable. It was the totality of it that's what made it what it was. 849 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle and you want to go to, you don't want to buy your car when you're hungry. Like, you know, don't go buy, like, you know, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry because you'll buy anything. Don't go car shopping when you need a car. Go car shopping like 6 months before. Now, I know if you get into a wreck, it's hard to tell that. But, like, you know, a lot of times you have time knowing that it's coming. You know you're getting to the end of this relationship, right? So you're going to move to another one. Well, you know, go look before that. Go 5 or 6 months before. Figure out what's on the market. Figure out what you're likely to want. And then you can start doing the real shopping. Be like, okay, I know I want this. What am I willing to, you know, compromise on? You can start looking and wait for the timing to be right. That's what we did. Now, the only difference is we happened to find the only one we could drive for the Honda Odyssey that we wanted at Frontier. Nobody else had one, and it was such a good price in perfect condition. We're like, well, we'll just buy it. It was even the color we wanted, which is unbelievable. We didn't care about the color to drive it, but what we wanted, the color. And so, you know, we just bought it because it was such a good deal. So, you know, that may not happen for you, but use Frontier as that resource. Go drive like 5 or 6 cars in the genre you're thinking about, or Jeeps or trucks or SUVs or whatever it is. And also one outside the genre, just for comparison's sake, to be sure you don't love it. And if you decide that you don't want that, great. If you decide, oh, a pickup, you say, you know, that's fine. Then you can adapt. But do it when you've got the luxury of being able to wait. Okay? But just include Frontier in that selection process. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Whether you're looking to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 95% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the spring semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there.
It's the final Bands on the Beach of the 2023 season, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. This week at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, you don't want to miss Not Quite Bad. Step back in time to a Beatles concert with the hair, the outfits, and the entire Beatles experience. With Not Quite Fab. Bust out your best costumes too, because it's Halloween. Don't miss Bands on the Beach, the final performance of the season, with Not Quite Fab this Tuesday night at 7.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Beep, beep, Richie.
Right on the door of the red zone. Looks to the end zone. He's got Giles. Giles with the catch. Got touchdown. It. Argos, you cannot stop that man. Second and goal from the one. Jarrett takes it. He'll hand off inside. They'll get into the end zone easy. Javontez Woods, touchdown Argos. Oak Stipes' helmet comes off. Guys are wrestling around on the ground. Bottom line is Argos get 6 more on the board.
All right, so it's 14 to nothing. That's early in the second quarter at this point. Argos beating up on Valdosta State, controlling the ball, having all the offense. They've got the ball again. They got the ball again with about 12 minutes to go in the first half, and they're from deep in their own end. Like, they're at the 1-yard line working out of the end zone, basically.
Oh, my gosh. First play back out. Sorry, we were in a commercial break here. And the Argos on their first play starting at their own 8-yard line. Javontez Woods into the right side of the line. Fumbles the football. Scooped up. Returned for a touchdown by Valdosta. Coach Schumacher was saying the only way that he really kind of felt like Valdosta could get back in this was a mistake or a turnover. And they get it on the first play.
So on the 8, sorry, not the 1. So they got a scoop and score that made it 14-7. 2 minutes later, after UWF goes 3 and out, they get a 56-yard pass play, and then
Valdosta's at the doorstep with a chance to even this football game.
Yeah, Valdosta caught him in some zero-man coverage there and was able to make him pay.
They'll run it. They'll take it in.
A little power play. Punched it in.
Easy money for the touchdown.
14-14 midway through the second quarter. Late in the second quarter, about 3 minutes to go, UWF
brings a man across the set. The Argos are going to look for it here on 2nd and 2. Throwing towards the corner of the end zone. He's got Giles over there. Giles got the touchdown. John Giles, you said quick strike, coach. There it is.
That's a second touchdown for John Giles. So that made it 21-14, but with 42 seconds left in the half.
Edwards, zero protection in the backfield, brings Flowers, the running back, across. That's where he was looking initially. Now he's scrambling. He's going to run. He's going to get to the end zone easily. Sammy Edwards sneaks in. Valdosta comes right back, goes 77 yards down the field.
21-21 going into the half. Not ideal, not what we've been hoping for. Third quarter saw no scoring whatsoever. 13 minutes left to go in the entire game. UWF's got the ball on the 29.
They run middle of the line. Wilson cuts it back. He's got room. 20 to the 10 to the 5. C.J. Wilson in for the touchdown. Argos take the lead.
Wow. Great run by C.J. Wilson.
C.J. Wilson
right
takes it in 28-21. You think, this is going pretty well. This is going to be fine. Well, Valdosta State gets a 48-yard field goal, so they make it 24-28, UWF leading. UWF goes for it on 4th-and-1 on the 22-yard of Valdosta State. It's a questionable call, maybe, because you could have shot to the end zone. Or, you know, I mean, there's lots of things you could have done, but you could have, I mean, you can't punt it, but you can maybe try for a field goal. I don't know. They went for it on 4th-and-1, and they did not get it. So Valdosta State comes the other way, drives the whole field, and
2nd-and-10 at the 28-yard line. Argos trying to come up with a stop. Valdosta needing a touchdown. Edwards back to pass, fires towards the middle of the field. Got the catch. Did he get into the end zone?
The answer here is not what you want to hear.
I believe he did. Ted Hurst went up over the top, caught the football.
36 seconds left in the game. Valdosta finally takes the lead, came all the way back. 31-28. So UWF, they get down pretty close. They get close enough to take a 51-yard shot to try to tie it to go to overtime. Griff Sarah?
This should be 51. That looks like where Logan Gregory is setting it down. Fog in the background. It's that kind of night. Trick or treat.
Let's go. Get it.
Snap is good. The hold is down. Nowhere close. Just came out to the right. Stayed to the right. Might have had enough leg. Maybe not. And the Argos fall short. 31-28 is the final score.
They could have taken a shot to the end zone. Who knows? It's hard to tell in the after effect. But we did lose, and that's not our favorite thing. So 6-3. But Brian Emery says, look, as long as we can win out, he's UWF Argos Director of Athletic Communications. We talked to him 2 hours ago. If we can win out these last two games, we'll be in the playoffs, no problem. If we lose one, it's going to be dicey and an uncertainty, but, you know, still in okay shape, but not the way you wanted to see this game go at home. 8:57 on News Radio 92.3. Traffic now. Jake, go ahead, sir.
Somebody texted in, this is kind of Halloween related, Rachel as Princess Leia.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
No, for sure.
I'm just going to leave it right there. Well, this is the one where heavy fog hung around all morning and Highway 98 eastbound was backed up all the way from Highway 87 to Hurlburt Field. It has just been a mess there this morning. That's all I can say about that. You can always text your traffic info to 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, this is the one with all the fog this morning,
yeah,
is what this is.
The one with all the fog.
Or the one with all the Highway 98.
Yes.
which, by the way, remember, there's this plan. It won't solve anything anytime soon, but there is this plan to build a west gate, basically, access way through all of the Eglin area to Hurlburt off of Highway 87 just for military personnel that wouldn't necessarily prevent the crashes, but it would make the impact of the crashes not as bad, especially for people who are traveling that way to Hurlburt. You'd have a way to go around. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Time now for future news.
Future news.
All right, Mike Pence is out. Will Mike Pence endorse somebody? If so, who will he endorse in the field of Republican candidates?
You said Nikki Haley earlier. I really think that's a good idea. I don't know if their stance on abortion might drive them apart.
Yeah, he's more of a social conservative, which would put him with DeSantis, but I don't know. I'm not sure which, but it'll either be DeSantis or Nikki Haley, whichever one he thinks is more likely to be able to beat President Trump. That would be my prediction. Elon Musk says he wants, remember he built PayPal back in the day and then sold it to eBay. He wants to turn Twitter/X into this comprehensive financial services company where you don't just have a Twitter account, but you have that's your bank account and stuff. Is that going
to
happen?
Doesn't sound safe to me.
I don't get it. I don't think so.
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.